Persecuted leader who made a lot of personal sacrifices to serve humanity. Today, Dr. Guattari is being buried on his farm in Kenya. He was well known for speaking out against economic injustice and political corruption. Here's what he said after the Rift Valley unrest in 2010.
For us who fought for second liberation, it was a very painful day that the things that we had fought for so sacrificially seem to have crept back to the life of the people of Kenya.
One person who, one of the many people whose mourning stays that funeral takes place, is Dr. Graham Kings, Bishop of Sherborne here in the United Kingdom. I asked him what Dr. Guattari's death means to the Anglican Church, not just in Kenya, but across the African continent.
In terms of local and national injustice, he spoke out, but he did it through the scriptures. The Kenyan constitution was changed to introduce voting by queuing. Instead of secret ballot, people had to queue up behind photographs of the candidates.
So everybody could tell exactly who you were voting for.
Exactly. So wives couldn't be in a separate queue from their husbands, police officers and army people couldn't be. The queues also disappeared, so there was no reference afterwards. So he led the opposition to that, and he won. In the end, it was back down and queuing was stopped.
Some people say that religion, that Christianity, is one of the ongoing tools of oppression that the colonialists used in Africa. And yet, Dr. Guattari used the scriptures to critique colonialism.
He did. Jomo Kenyatta, the first president of Kenya, used the story of Naboth's vineyard, which the king Ahab nabbed, in order to turn it against the colonialists. David Guattari used the same story. I was there on the day when he used it.
Years and years later, he used that scripture, didn't he, too?
Yes.
But this time, not talking about the colonialists, but talking about Kenya's own leadership.
Exactly. And that's what a prophet does. A prophet always takes what is usually about them over there to it's us here.
So he was a voice against the tribal divisions in Kenya, against the corruption and misrule. He must have rubbed a lot of people in the authorities up the wrong way.
He did. I was at St. Andrew's College, Kabari, and I got a phone call early in the morning saying that there'd been an assassination attempt on his life. This was April 1989. But he survived.
How did he feel about the injustice in Kenya? I mean, he himself was a Kikuyu.
Yes, he was. And he used to use Kikuyu proverbs. When there was a huge problem, he would say, Gutiri undujogu, which means there's nothing as big as an elephant. So he related the deep Kikuyu culture into worldwide English, into the scriptures.
In terms of speaking out against corruption and pointing fingers, really, he didn't shy away from that, from naming and shaming. Was he ever told to back off?
Oh, yes, all the time. But he didn't. He was ordered to come to the local KANU office, and he said, oh, I'd like to come to the local one-party office, and I will come in my robes, and I will come with the Mothers' Union, and they will come in all their robes, and then they backed off.
And what do you think Archbishop Guattari's legacy is?
It's a legacy of not being afraid to speak out against injustice, but also he has encouraged and inspired a huge number of women and men to follow Jesus Christ. That's his key legacy.
That was Dr. Graham Kings. Now, in the early 1980s, most British people had never heard of Terry Waite. Then he became a household name, not for what he did, but for what was done to him and how he coped with it. On a trip to Lebanon as an envoy for the church,